I want to speak to you for just a few minutes today on experiencing biblical success. You know, I sometimes on Wednesday night, I just like to talk to the congregation about being successful in the natural and being successful in the spiritual. And how many of you here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power, when I just sort of talk to you? And today, that's what I want to do on this Sunday morning. Somebody said, why don't you do some of the stuff you do on Wednesday night on Sunday morning? So that's what I'm going to do today. We're going to just sort of walk through some things. You know, I believe success is something that everybody really desires. Am I right or wrong? And people go to seminars, and now they have webinars. Any of you watched any webinars? Oh, yeah, most people do. People buy books, they have DVDs. Some people get a personal coach. Some people find a mentor that will help them. Some people go and take some courses at the local college, and they're not taking them right out here at the right off of the freeway out here. Tulsa Tech, and you can take a course that's to help you. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's all good. But I want to explore some questions about biblical success, about what the Bible says about success and being successful. The word success or successful are found in the Bible 6 times. God made Joseph successful in Genesis 39:2. God told Joshua how to be successful in Joshua 1:8. Abraham's servant prayed for success in finding a wife for Isaac in Genesis 24:12. Job lamented at the loss of success in Job 6:13 and also in Job 30:22. Solomon said wisdom brings success in Ecclesiastes 10:10. Now, I think from these verses we can see two things: that God wants us to be successful, and he's willing to help be successful if we will follow his plan. Now, in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Now, I want to read that from two other translations because it gives a little different slant to it. New Living Translation says, study this Bible of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, I want you to notice both of these says, have good success, succeed in all that you do. It doesn't say spiritual. It says all that you do. So that means naturally and spiritually. Everything you do translates back to one thing. The Voice Translation. Let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do as you make your way through life, through this world, you will prosper and always find success. Always find success. I believe the context of these verses show us that God is giving instruction to Joshua here, but those same instructions will also work for us today. God has not changed. So if it worked for Joshua in the Old Testament, it will work for us today. Because he says in his word, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. So we can see that God would not talk about being successful and being a success if he wasn't there to help us to be there, be successful. Now, let's look at something here for a moment. Success. It's just not being in a certain position. It's just not accomplishing certain things. You know, some people think you're successful if you have a lot of money. Some people think you're successful if you have attained a certain status in life. But real success comes from being in the will of God. Real success comes from being obedient to what the Word of God has to say. There are a lot of people wanting to be successful, but they're not doing what the Bible says do. They're not coming to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Now, I realize that we've gone through a rough period, and a lot of people didn't come to church, and a lot of people are still not coming back when they should. Okay? Don't sit there and look at me like that. It's the truth. I'm tired of people using the excuse of what we have gone through to keep them from gathering and worshiping together in church. This church is big enough that you, if you want a distance, you can. Hello? And we're not saying, I mean, you can wear a mask or not wear a mask. I don't care. If that's what you want to do, but come to church. How can you be successful if you're not obeying what the Word of God says? And then a lot of people praying for success, and they haven't gave a dime to the church. Now you start getting, my dad said, there's two things that people will shut down on you with. If you start talking about their pocketbook or talking about their kids. But the Bible says that we are to bring our 10%. And some people call it first fruits. They don't call it tithe. They don't want to call it tithe. They call it the first fruits. But we're supposed to bring that to God. And then on top of that, we give offerings, what we can of what we have left. You know, now don't go out and be stupid. Like, and I get disgusted at sometimes at television, Christian television. I heard not very long ago, I heard a guy talking about, oh, if you have to, go out and borrow and send this amount of money and you'll get this. No, they won't. Because they're not giving in the right attitude of the Word of God. They're giving to get, and that is not part of what it's talking about. Oh, some people say, oh, hey, I'm walking heavy this morning. But I come to the point, I'm 82 years old, I can say what I want to. If you don't like it, that's your problem. I've been preaching for 63 years. And I'm tired of seeing people talking about success and wanting this and wanting that and yet not doing what the Word of God says to do. Thank God I got some good amens, and then I got some people that are sitting there looking at me like this. That's a bad thing to do because that tells me I'm getting in your wheelhouse. Are you accomplishing what God wants for you to accomplish in your life? Those are three important questions. And there are three questions that you need to answer if you're going to be successful in life, both spiritually and naturally. On the natural side, are you being obedient to what the rules for your particular occupation calls for? Are you staying up with what needs to be done? That's why we read the Bible. That keeps us built up spiritually. Well, if you want to keep your in the natural, if you want to keep built up in your profession, you got to continually read and keep up with what's going on in the world. Come on now. A lot of people wanting promotion, but they're not doing what needs to be done to get promoted. Preach, Hagin, you're doing good. I will. Thank you. Did you know that our life down here, both spiritually and naturally, is a journey with a destination? Successful people enjoy the journey and reach the destination. Now, in the natural, we can do that, but we won't reach our final destination with this spiritual journey that we're on until either we get out of this life or Jesus returns and we have what they call the rapture of the church. Of course, as Christians, our ultimate destination is heaven. But do you know there's some destinations that we need to go to while we're on our way to our final destination? Have you ever taken a trip? And on that trip, you have a final destination, but as you're on that trip, you stop at other destinations along the way. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You know, are you growing spiritually by studying the Word? Are you serving God in the capacities that you have the ability to do so? You know, not everybody don't have the ability to get up here with all the singers that were up here. You don't want me up there. And I don't know whether you noticed or not, but Joe David on that bass guitar this morning, he was eating that thing up. And I looked over there at Wesley and Dave Lazinski there, and man, they were eating those guitars alive. The drummer was, and all the musicians, they were into it. Why? Because that's what they do. The singers, they're serving God in the capacity that they can. There are many different places in this church that you can be successful and serve with your talents. See, everybody wants to be successful, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get there. I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. I'm sorry, I got both. I'm working both. Let me get back here. All right. Are you gaining victory in certain areas of your life and your work? Are you just maintaining? Never be satisfied with maintaining. Be satisfied with advancement. Now let's look on the natural side. Are you learning the skills to be able to be successful in your chosen profession? You see, everything evolves and everything is changing. You know, we used to, we had the tapes, those cassette tapes. In fact, back in the day, I was in charge of a lot. Thank God I got Denise and Craig and a lot of people helping me now. I don't have to do some of these, but I used to do a whole lot of it. And my cassette tape person came to me and he said, you know, we were farming it out. And they were giving us back $1 a tape. And of course, you know, it was a deal. And he showed me, he said, if we buy the equipment and bring this in-house, we will amortize this equipment in 1 year. And then after that, everything, instead of him getting all the profit, we'll have the profit back here to help the ministry go forward. So I went out and I got the equipment. And we started producing our in-house. But, you know, you have to, sometimes the person makes a mistake and so forth and so on. And so you have to, there was a special machine that you come through and you'd have to cut it, splice it here and splice it here, then splice that tape back together. And you took out a section. Now, with the modern technology, if I mispronounce a word and I have said that word correctly in another spot, they can go and get that word and bring it, take the word out and put that word right in there. You see, everything's advancing. Well, we had some people that wouldn't study and learn how to do because the new technology was coming, I told them. And then we got to the point, we got the new equipment, they couldn't operate it. And I told them, I said, I told you a year ago that this is the way the industry's going. If you've got to learn how to do it, or I don't have a place for you. Well, I had other people, they did it. Now I don't have a place for him, and he gets mad at me because I don't have a place for him to work. It was his problem, not mine. I told him ahead of time what was happening. That's what you need to do in the natural. You need to see what's happening in your profession and then go out and get the knowledge so that whenever your company has to switch entirely to that, you're ready. And the ones that haven't gone out and done anything, they're not ready for advancement, and there's nothing they can do with them. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the truth. People want to be successful, but they're not willing to do what's necessary to maintain that success. You know, find out what your natural talents are. All of us have natural talents. and learn how to use them. I always have had a natural talent. I don't know. I could get up and talk to anybody. I went to the platform when I was 19 months old. I wasn't afraid of a platform. And in school, I could talk. And I realized that this is a talent. So I began, whenever I had opportunity, and especially with our drama coaches and so forth and so on, I began to study and learn how to speak and how to do certain things. And my TV department, I have to do a commercial or do a greeting for somebody or something, or have a special, like you've seen me in some of the, Christmas program, I think, you know. Well, I read that over, and then I just go out and I ad lib and so forth and so on. They say, you're a one take Johnny. We don't have to do any retakes on you. Well, part of that is because I have taken the time to learn how to do certain things. I can read something. I said, that's not the way I would say it. So I ad-lib it to make it sound like me, coming from me. I can watch these guys on especially in the sports and some of the other things. You can tell when they're reading every word off of that teleprompter, or when they're just naturally letting it flow, but they're talking about the same thing. How many understand what I'm trying to talk to you about today? I want you to be successful in every area of life. He wants us to be that way. Now, the key here in Joshua 1:8 is to not let the word of the Lord depart from your mouth. Now you say, well, you're talking about spiritual. No, the word of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. That's natural and spiritual. See, come on. I want you to get a hold of what I'm trying to talk to you about today. He said here, if you would have that, the word of God, and think about it, and do according to all that's written in it, then you will be successful. There's no real success without the Word of God being number one in our life. Hold up one finger like this. How many of you have ever watched basketball, football, baseball? You see people holding up number one, right? The Word of God has to be number one. What does the Word of God do? It provides a foundation for you, for your success, both natural and spiritual. It's a roadmap to keep you going in the right direction. It outlines the parameters in which you are to operate. See, he said, meditate on the word, ponder, think about it, imagine the word. Speak the word to yourself. I was speaking the word this morning to myself as I was getting ready. I said, you said, Lord, that we're anointed to minister. I thank you for that. I thank you. I'm anointed to minister today. You said this is the day you made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I do it just about every day. I call all of my family's names and claim the 91st Psalm over all of us. See, that's speaking the word. That gives you the parameters to operate in. where many people miss it is they're not continually speaking the word. They're speaking what's going on, what's happening. I realize that's happening. I realize that's a fact. But let's arm ourselves with the greater facts of God's word and open our mouth. But you can't open your mouth and speak the word of God if you haven't been meditating on the word of God. I tell people all the time, that's a fact. The fact remains we have dealt with a situation. Still dealing. Long as we're in this world, we're going to deal with situations. That's a fact. But I'm going to be armed with the greater facts of God's word because I study the word and I'm going to let the word come out of my mouth both for spiritual advancement and natural advancement. My first grade teacher, Miss Valor, she asked John Green, "John, can you do this?" He said, "No, I can't." I never will forget this. She turned around to that blackboard, and when I was in the first grade, we had blackboards. We didn't have grease boards, and we had white chalk and erasers. You had to. And those erasers had to be cleaned. And I see some people bouncing them together. People that got in trouble usually had to go clean the erasers. Anybody ever had to clean an eraser? Oh, I got lots of people. And she wrote on this board, "Don't ever say I can't." And then she turned around and said, "When you say you can't, you will never accomplish anything. You've got to believe and say, I can." Now, I didn't know it then, but I do now. Actually, she was saying exactly what the Word of God says. Come on. You there, you're going home. I see some bodies sitting there, but I think your mind's already gone. You're already at the cafeteria eating, sir. If you don't continually speak the word, you're not laying the proper foundation for success. Your mind, your spirit, your mind, and your mouth are all involved in being successful in life. And I talk about it a lot of time. Let me skip over here and get some more. I'm running out of time. But speaking the word, you may sing about to the mountains. Now, if you're going to be successful, you got to have a purpose in life, or a cause, some people call it. God put the purpose on Joshua. He said, "Hey, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you get up and you go over this Jordan and you take this people into the land that I promised them." That was his purpose in life. He knew what he was supposed to do. And he went after it. That was his assignment. Anything else for Joshua wouldn't have been successful. You know, I never wanted to preach. I grew up in the preacher's house. I wanted to be a race car driver or a meteorologist. Or go into politics. And all of my teachers there said, you'd be good in that third one there, Hagin, because, man, you can talk. My mother said I'd talk to an iron post if it talked back to me. But whenever I was 17 in youth camp and God really began to deal with my heart, because I was like a lot of some of the preacher's kids, they got on the other side of the fence, but I was as close to the line as you could get without stepping over the line, because I'd been raised in church and I knew better than step over that line. But I stayed way far away, because when you're way away, it's hard to hear God's voice. Come on. Somebody said to me one time, I never hear God talking. I just thought to myself, how close are they living to God then? Hello? You know, I could be here on the platform and somebody, one of the ushers would be back there by the door and they start saying something to me. I can hear their voice, but I don't know what they're, I just hear their voice. I'm not comprehending what they're saying. That's the way a lot of people are. They're way over here. And that's why they're never hearing from God, because they hear his voice all right, but they can't comprehend what he's saying. But that night, the Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp, I saw a film called Beyond the Bells by a missionary. He was there for 6 years before he ever had one convert. God really dealt with my heart, and I said, and I knew what my purpose was then, and I started preaching when I was 18, and I have stayed with that. That's my purpose. That's what I'm called to do. That's what I do. And God used the, he puts people in positions. Most of the time, he puts people, even in the natural, in a position where your talents already are there for you. Come on now. You can't be everything, but you can do something. Having a purpose is necessary in order to accomplish something. You got to know why you're doing it and when to do it. I got to hurry. Let's identify some things that we have that we can use for an advantage of being successful. Number one, God is on our side. He's promised to be with us. He's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He's told us that the greater one lives on the inside of us. He's told us that we would be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So we have God on our side. When I was in grade school, we would play football at recess time. And we'd choose up teams and play one another. And we always, somebody would be two captains and they'd start choosing. And everybody wanted to be on Harry's team. Because Harry, he was just big and strong. And I've seen one guy around this leg and this leg and about three people on his back and he's still going. You couldn't hardly get the boy down. Everybody want to be on Harry's team. Hey, I want to be on God's team. Because nothing ever takes him down. Number two, you have the Word of God. That is stronger and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is your foundation for everything you do in life, naturally and spiritually. Number three, we got to figure out, we have gifts and talents. Identify those. Many times that is an indicator of the path that God will help you be successful in. Now, your attitude. Develop a positive attitude in everything. My dad used to tell me, he said, "Son, stay on the positive. Stay on the positive." Craig, you ever heard him say that? Denise? I see Lynette shaking her head. He said, "Stay on the positive." Too many Bible-believing, tongue-talking Christians are always on the negative side. God is not negative. God is positive. Now, he didn't say we weren't going to have troubles and trials, but he said the positive part was he would deliver. Amen. Amen. Another thing is to develop a sense of timing as when to move and when not to move, when to shut up and when to talk. See, Joshua told his officers, "Pass through the camp and tell them 3 days from now we're going across the Jordan to the promised land." He realized that he couldn't move too quickly. They got to get prepared. But he realized that he had to move. So he said, "Okay, well, 3 days." What we got to do, we may know the what, but we got to know the when. And many times that comes from just studying different things. A farmer not only has to know the what, he has to know the when. When to work the fields, turn it over. That's what my grandpa used to call it. He said, "I'm going to go turn that field over." I got any farmers here? You know what I'm talking about? Just turn that dirt over. It's been lying dormant for the winter months. Now you go turn it over. Then you got to know when to plant. My grandpa used to say, "So-and-so, he's planting too early." He's talking about his farmer friend. No, he's planting too early. I say, "Papa, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, the weather hasn't changed like it needs to yet. There's still going to be some cold weather, and those seeds are just going to be little sprouts, and the cold weather's going to hit, and it's going to take most of them out." Sure enough, we had a cold snap. After the cold snap, I was 5 years old, I heard him tell my grandmother, said, "Okay, Savannah, get ready." Said, "We're going to start planting next Monday." What was he doing? He was gauging when he needed to put the seed in the ground. Like right now, some of you are getting ready because you have gardens, but you're waiting until the right time to plant those tomato plants or whatever you're going to plant. How many know what I'm talking about? Any of you? And then, see, you got to know when to harvest that crop. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, anybody getting anything out of this? "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Drop down to verse 11 then. "He made everything beautiful in his time." In 1980, I preached a message that said we're going to have rhemas all over the world. But it wasn't until the 2000s that it started. I'll back up a little bit. I went out and tried to make it happen. It didn't work. I just shut it down. And now the Lord began to talk to me. He said, okay, you have the resources and you have the people. Now's the time to move. And it's exploded into 280 Bible schools in 54 nations, I think it is now. But you see, I knew the what, but I said, oh, this is what God wants. Let's go do it. Sometimes you need to just sit steady and let him tell you the when. In the natural, on the natural side, sometimes you may see something, but you may need to just stay quiet and stay steady until it's the right time. In the business world, you can move too fast or too quick and get yourself in trouble, or you can be too slow and get in trouble. How many business people here is that? No, that's to be a fact. Yeah. You got to know when. You know, my dad used to say it this way. You got to strike when the iron's hot. Now, I guess that comes from comes from Texas's expression. Because if you brand in your cattle, you got to brand them when that iron's hot. Cold iron won't do nothing. Anybody ever had a brand cattle? Yeah. That it has to be a good temperature. Not too hot, but not cold. It won't burn through. Okay, you see, I struck, but I did it out of timing, and I was out of timing and messed up. You can do the same thing spiritually and naturally. Okay, let's go on. You got to have courage and strength to step out. Many people never advance because they don't have the courage to step out and take a chance. He told Joshua, be strong and have good courage. In verse 6. In verse 7, he said, only be strong and very courageous. Then he told him, that's when he did verse 8, told him, don't let the book of the law out of your mouth. And then in verse 9, he said, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? You know what? When I built this building, a lot of people said it wasn't possible. Because when we built this building, there was nothing like it anywhere else in the United States of America. Sitting right back there is the man that made it happen. Now let's rewind back to 1977. We moved out here. I started school right over there in that building in 1976. And then that was in the fall of the next year. I moved the entire Kenneth Hagin Ministry offices out here with 50 people. I had a meeting with all the city planners and the city manager and chamber, everybody, bankers, anybody that was anybody in Broken Arrow. And I had a plot plan. And everywhere you see a building, I had it on there in 1977. Spring of 77, I believe it was. Where this building sits, there was an auditorium. Now, I didn't know it was going to be a church back then because I didn't even start the church till 85. But I started thinking about building this building. It wasn't the right time. I thought about building the auditorium. I don't know how many times we thought about building that auditorium. Because that's what we called it, because we were a school. We didn't have a church. But every time, that something on the inside said, no. Nah. But when the timing was right, he said, do it. And everybody said, oh, that's too expensive, so forth. Somebody, I'll say it now, but I believe it was $19,200,000, I think, was the price for the building. The time we got it all furnished on the inside, I think it ended up at about $22 million. They said I couldn't do it, but you're sitting in it. If I had tried to do it ahead of time, I'm talking about timing now, so I'm talking, it would have all messed up. It wouldn't have worked. How many understand what I'm trying to talk to you about? Now I had to have courage. They started throwing figures at me. Well, I said, this is what we're gonna do. And we did it. You got to, if you know that that's what you need to do, you got to be strong and courageous enough to step out and to do it in the natural and in the spiritual side. Charlie's sitting back there. He built this building. It worked for me for 10 years, I think it was. When he left, he took a step of faith and he had to have courage. And they got churches by Daniels now. I'm sorry, Charlie, I hope you don't mind, but it's a great example. He had a solid position, but he felt stirring in his heart to step out and do something that probably wasn't a good idea to do right at that particular moment, but he did it, and look where he is successful today. Many of you in the natural, and we are a natural being and a spiritual being at the same time, and we gotta keep both of them on the same track, keep them together strong. If you're strong and successful spiritually, you'll be strong and successful in the natural. Come on. Some of you got ideas and you're thinking about some things. Hey, be strong and courageous. Look at all of the parameters before you make a decision. And then move when it's the right time. He had to resist fear, Joshua did, to get to his destination. That's why the Lord told him, be strong. I quote the verse, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I quoted that for years. Because this campus just didn't get built just because God said, do something. That's the spiritual side. The natural side is, I had to do it in the natural. Come on. I'm trying to help y'all today. I refuse to be afraid when people said it wasn't possible. I refuse to be afraid. When we were building SDC 1 and 2, and this ministry had always operated on a cash basis, we didn't even have a credit rating. And I'm trying to get a loan. And everybody said, well, it can't be done. Well, I said, yes, it can. I'll tell you how courageous I was. I'm sitting in my office right over there in that building at a conference table with our banker and a banker he had brought in from a big bank that was talking to us about the loan. And he was hum-a-hawing around and so forth and so on. And I heard the Spirit of God say, go over to your desk and sign those papers. I got up from a conference table with two bankers, and they're sitting here, and went over to my desk and started signing letters. Because I sign a lot of the letters that go out here personally. I had a stack. Now, that takes some courage to get up and walk away from a conference table with bankers. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And the guy turned around to me, and he said, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to do this or not? And here comes courage again. I looked at him, I said, and he didn't want to buy what I had been saying. I told him what I wanted. He's my last choice. He's my last chance. There ain't no others. And I said to him, you heard my deal. Take it or leave it. I'm serious. But you see, I'm working the natural, but I'm listening to the spiritual. Now that you wouldn't want to do that unless you knew for sure. But I mean, that took a little courage. Hey, but this campus is here. And it started out with one building on the corner and half of the RMA auditorium down there and 6 acres. And now you got all of these buildings and everything. It's taken some courage, but we're here. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, if you'll give 100% of yours to God, He will help you give 100% in the natural, and you can do whatever you need to do. And I got to quit because I'm over time. But I just wanted to try to get across to you that you are successful because God said He wanted you to be successful. Believe the word, confess the word, and walk in the word, and you will see that you'll walk in a path that will lead you to success, and you'll enjoy life as you walk along the path. I will lead you and I will guide you. I will give you what you need, and you will move and see that it is happening right before your eyes as you walk every step of the way. Do not be afraid. Do not hold back, but continue on with that what you were doing, and you'll see that you'll come out on top, and it will be truly victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what I heard the Spirit say, and I think that some of you that struck a note with you. What I had to say struck a note with you. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I just tried to encourage these people today to walk a road and be successful that you want them to be. And I pray that things that we've said today will find lodgment in hearts and lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you happen to be in this place today, and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you can't get involved in anything I'm talking about until you know Jesus is your personal Savior. Or you know that, you know what it is to walk with God, but you hadn't been walking where you need to walk, and you need to change and rededicate your life to God. Anybody on any one of those three invitations right now want to pray with you and want to pray for you? Let me see your hand so I know who you are so I can pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody anywhere? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. The Spirit of God is saying there's some of you in this place. You need to quit holding back. Quit looking at this or that. Because there's many things that you have talked about. But zero in on the one thing that you really know how to do. And go that direction. The Spirit of God is saying there's some that need to repent because they haven't been doing exactly what they need. You haven't sinned or anything. You just didn't have been doing what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God on the spiritual side. And then the Spirit is saying there's some of you that need to repent because you've been asking Him to help you to be successful in the natural, and you're not doing what you need to do in the natural in order to be successful. So He can't. Nobody looking around, please. If that hit home to any of y'all, any person in this room, and you want to admit it to God and say, I'm going to change, I want to see your hand right now. Just raise your hand wherever you're at in this room. I see. Keep your hands up. Heavenly Father, you see these honest hearts, these hands that are raised, saying they haven't been up to par in different areas of their life. And they're saying to you right now with that upraised hand, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change things. And I'm going to make my way successful. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, or so be it. Now, I prayed that prayer, but you need to take that prayer to heart and do something about it. Hallelujah. I trust you got something out of this today. I realize that it wasn't the normal kind of Sunday morning service, but I think it was something that was needed by everybody. Everybody didn't need all of it, but everybody needed some of it. So whatever you needed, you grab a hold of that part and go with it, okay? Listen, tonight we call it the Super Bowl party, but really it's a time for fellowship among Rhema family. Even if you don't like football, come and just sit and talk and enjoy friendship with your Rhema family. It's going to be a good time of fellowship. Some of us will enjoy the game because we enjoy football. We played it and we enjoy it. But others won't. But you can come and enjoy sitting around and maybe eating a burger or eating some ice cream with your friend and talking. And then besides that, invite somebody to come. Many times you could get somebody to come like that. They meet a few people. Then you can get them to come to church. And the next thing you know, we got them in the kingdom. Hello. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, Connection team, go find those first-time guests. We're so glad you came to be with us today. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say? Welcome home. Then come on, be a part of our Rainbow family around here. Hallelujah. And tonight at 5 o'clock, 5:15, I don't know when it is. I'll be there, probably early. But come and let's have fun together. Okay? I'm going south doors today. You can look on the screen and find your favorite one and go shake their hands wherever they're at. Sing a little chorus and you're dismissed. I'll see you tonight.